everyone. We are the A Squad. We are a new and exciting podcast dealing with the ever-emerging gaming culture we find ourselves in. I am Rise Like Phoenix, and joining with me is my co-host.
Giant Shock, man. How you doing?
There you go. The Dom of my Marcus.
I don't want to die, though.
They're partners. They're partners. He's not dead in the new one anyway. It's a prequel.
All right, I'm back again.
Our goal is to expand and inform the gaming community without boring the hell out of them.
We'll try.
Right. We'll touch on industry news, upcoming events, review games, and generally have a good time.
We hope so. Let's go into it, man. You ready?
Let's do it. We're going to start off with the news. So here's the news. Nintendo boldly stands up and tells everyone that the Wii U is totally worth it and that it will be worth it someday, eventually, maybe.
That shit looks stupid.
It does.
It's like a huge controller that... It's kind of like the Vita, isn't it? You just play the games from the Wii, right?
A little bit. I mean, I guess it's supposed to be a little interactive, but that's exactly what it is, a little interactive.
Nintendo's super interactive, but it's not that fun for at least adults. Like, I mean, if you're a kid, you could have a lot of fun being like, oh, I'm throwing a baseball, but you're not... You know, at least for sports, I play a lot of sports games. I want the real players. I don't want, like, the Wii characters, you know, playing baseball.
It's not fun anymore, Nintendo. All this gimmicky stuff never works out.
They were good back in the day with, like, the power pad and the gun and all that stuff. And, like, did you ever get that robot to work? Remember from Gyromite?
I never got the robot.
I never got it to work. But they were always, like, innovative with, like, little add-ons to the system.
Power glove.
Yeah, but... Well, that never worked either, man. That was a bust. But the Wii itself, man, like the whole system is a gimmick now. Now you don't have a real controller to play games with, and I lost interest in the Wii pretty quick after its release.
Yeah. I was excited when it was only $200, and when they came out and said that, oh, we have this new controller, I was excited, and I wasn't too happy that they weren't updating the graphics. And now that eight years later, they're still not they're coming out with a new system and still not upgrading the graphics.
I thought that was a huge killer where the Xbox and PS3 are super innovative with their graphics, and then Wii's still chilling in like almost GameCube territory.
Right.
With their shit.
Right. These are like 12, 13-year-old graphics that they're dealing with, and that's their new system.
The Wii U isn't even souped up at all, right? It's just a handheld version of the Wii. Right?
Right. Pretty much.
I'd watched a lot of the trailers. I wasn't that familiar with the Wii, but there's a couple gimmicky little things where you could throw pictures onto your onto your TV via the Wii. I think you actually have to have the new Wii, though, right?
It's a whole new system. Just like does it come with the Wii? 720 or... Yeah, it's a whole package.
Like you get the controller and the Wii?
One controller, and you get another controller.
All the controllers cost a lot of money, too?
Yeah, they're like two bills, like $200.
So if like you wanted to play with a friend, like...
That's an additional $200. Oh,
that's a killer. That's more expensive than the other systems.
I know. You can use the old Wii controllers with it, which is okay, I guess.
I guess it's cool. I mean, like, you could use the GameCube controllers on the Wii, too. But
you might as well.
Yeah, because I thought the GameCube games were better than the Wii games. Of course, you have your Zeldas, your Marios, Mario Kart, like, all the platform games, but you don't have any good games. Like, if a game comes out in all it's a multi-console system, I'm not buying it on the Wii.
No. No one is. Nah. Because they actually have to strip down the graphics. Just yeah. The
way. Like, yeah. Can you make this look worse for us, please? Can you undigitize? You know, like, we want less bits.
Right. Like, Gucci, can you make a line to sell at Target? Because that's that's basically what the Wii is.
Yeah, you're dumbing it down, man. Like, I just, the Nintendo, I thought, really did a disservice to their company by putting out that system. It was real lackluster, and a lot of the games don't work that great. I actually, the last Wii game I played and bought was GoldenEye, and it was the most hardest game to control because you had to aim with your right hand and move with your left hand, and like it was impossible to be super accurate. Like it's a first-person shooter. It was impossible to shoot. I was not Bondish at all. I was not a 00 agent. I was a meat shield.
While we're on the topic of aiming with the Wii, I don't understand why when I was 8 years old in 1980 and 1990... I could aim at my TV and shoot ducks, and now I have to aim well above my TV to shoot zombies in 2013.
You know what's weird? I don't even know how that even worked. And
it was light.
Was it?
Yeah.
because I was shocked. Like when I went, because it was a wired controller into your system, and there was no like sensor on top of your TV to like, you know, shoot the ducks or the, you know, or Wild Wild Gunman. So I was like, I don't have no idea how this works.
Right? What happened with that?
Dude, that was super advanced technology.
I know. I guess they lost it too.
Because if you remember Superscope, that had a little thing that you had to put on top of your TV.
Yeah.
Or
yeah,
it was on the bottom of the TV. It was something you had to, you know, plug
you
in.
Choose. I think I just kind of danced it around my room until it worked. You know, you just pick a spot.
After the Superscope lost its like value, I just played with it as an actual gun toy.
I did that with the Captain. Yeah. When Captain N came out, it was all over. I had my power glove. I had all that shit.
They were funner to play with than they were to play with the, you know, the actual games with.
Yeah, Duck Hunt got old real quick.
Who didn't, like, after a while, just cut the wire to that gun and just play with it?
I don't know. I don't want to know the guy who didn't.
Yeah. It's like, oh, dude, it's Wild Wild. I had Wild Wild Gunman, which was fun, but that got old quick, too. I mean, like, how many times are you going to go draw with the gunman, you know?
Right. Right. And we always found ways to cheat.
You stand right next to the fucking thing and just blast them. Well, but then you're taking the whole point.
Take that, yeah. Wild Bill.
Their hats would come up and stuff like that.
Yeah.
It was. You know, it was funny. I used to love how racist you could be back in the 80s because the Spanish guys had the sombreros with the fucking ponchos on and stuff.
You didn't think anything of it. You didn't think less of the Spanish people. So.
What about Mario? He's a totally racist character.
No, Mario is the accumulation of a thousand people. He looks Spanish. He acts Italian. He's fucking...
What do you mean he acts Italian? He's fucking a plumber and he fucking eats mushrooms.
That's what America's all about.
That is a race. He's like, it's a me, a Mario. No one talks like that. It's like the chef on The Simpsons talks like that. No one real person talks like that.
Speaking of the Wii GameCube mix, they're coming out with Wind Waker for the Wii. They just unveiled
Zelda
that this week. Yeah, if you remember Wind Waker, that was my favorite Zelda.
I mean, the Zelda games are always pretty sweet. Mm-hmm. You can't go wrong with them. But is it a remake of it?
It's just a remake.
I mean, that's lame.
It's an HD remake.
Who cares? That's a huge thing for Nintendo to be in HD, but like for the rest of the world, we've been in HD for basically a decade.
Right. I don't think they know.
Because the Wii's not. That's funny because I have the red, yellow, white outputs, and the only thing I have in the back of my TV with that is a Nintendo product because everything else is HDMI or it's the high def wires.
Someone needs to tell Nintendo because eventually they're going to have to get rid of those completely. Like, the TV companies are just going to stop making them.
Yeah, 10 years from now, TVs aren't going to come with that.
Right.
Like, it's going to be a dead... they might not even come with the prongs. It's just going to be HDMI. It's all in one wire, you know?
Right. So, for the next system, they're at least going to have to upgrade to the HDMI wire.
That changed my life. That was the best invention ever, where you can get rid of all the prongs and the wires, because back in the day, you'd have to turn your whole TV around.
And you bend them trying to stab them in.
Oh, man, it was a pain in the ass. But now it's just like, wow, one wire, and now on the side of the TV, too. So, it's not even like a big deal. You have to go in the back.
Yeah, it's came a long way since you had to be on Channel 3.
Oh, my God. That was the word. You had to put the, you know, on the auxiliary channel. Mm-hmm. And did you have an RCA TV?
I had, yeah.
Because those American TVs suck because everything was Japanese, and you had to, like, basically, like, ghetto rig something with, like, you know, electrical tape and hangers and stuff like that to get that shit to work.
Sometimes on my Sega, I had to switch from Channel 3 to Channel 4 also, and I never knew why. Like, some days it would just be 4.
Yeah?
Yeah.
That is the weirdest thing I've ever heard.
The adapter had a switch, 3 or 4.
Yeah?
Yeah. I don't know. If somebody wants to explain that to me, then.
It's because it's another Japanese thing with an American TV. They don't. That's why who buys an RCA TV? You constantly have to buy an adapter. Like the TV, instead of having a HDMI cord, it's like a DVI or something like that for RCA. And that's why I think it's not even a company anymore. I think they sold it to... it's like one of those like Insignia, or like they sold one of those things, and now they, you know, it's different.
Speaking of companies that aren't around anymore,
Oh, that's a good segue into it. Let's do it.
Atari and THQ both go down the tubes this month.
Atari didn't even know it was still around. Didn't care. But what do they have? They had Pong. What's their last big hit?
T-shirts at Hot Topic.
They have good merchandise. They all their stuff with their T-shirts with the Atari logo on it. That's still cool. But as far as their games, no one gives a shit.
No. Like, I don't know, Pole Position is the one. I remember that one.
I remember Pong, Centipede. Like,
yeah.
These games were in diners. Like, who cares?
they still are, yeah. I guess.
Those diners have to get, you know.
Maybe they're taking them out now. Like, they're like racing Atari on the map.
THQ, though, I have an affinity for, because they made a lot of games that I like. They made the Evil Dead games, and they made the WWE games. which I still play. I don't even watch wrestling anymore, but I still every year pick up the WWE game and I play it because I just they're super fun.
Yeah, yeah. No, the wrestling games are always a good time. Yeah. And I don't even watch wrestling. They're just a good time.
Yeah, I haven't watched wrestling basically since The Rock left the first time. And, you know, I still, every year, I'm like, who? I mean, it's getting less fun because of I don't know anybody in the game anymore, but it's still a fun game.
Yeah.
But, I mean, as far as that company goes, there's not a huge, huge title that we're missing out on. There's no, like, Halos. There's no Call of Duties.
Saints Row. Saints Row is a...
Okay. Saints Row is like a bootleg... Was it GTA?
It passed GTA with me because I don't have to play darts with any boring Russian people. Or like I don't have to do any missions I don't want to. Every mission is crazy, wacky, over the top. I like that.
Well, I was at my friend Euthanasia. He was telling me that he has like some big Hulk glove that he could just pop people off the map with and stuff like that.
Yeah, I totally
got
that. They got shark guns. It's a good time, and I don't have to. I mean, like, GTA, I might as well have just gone out and done that shit in real life. Like,
yeah.
I mean, to take someone to... One of the missions was literally take somebody to a bar, have a couple of beers, play some darts, and drive them home.
That sounds boring.
Right. Like, well, you're boring in real life when you do that.
Well, that seems like a mission that has super affected you. Because every time you've mentioned something about GTA, it's been that one mission. You were like, I had to play darts with this Russian guy.
I miss CJ is what it was.
Oh, he was from the fourth one, San Andreas, right?
Yeah.
He was, well, that character was the man. He had the wife beater on and stuff like that.
Mine did. Yeah. I mean, I guess you could put a shirt on him, but well, you're hiding all those muscles.
That was a fun one, man, where you had to do drive-bys and stuff like that. Like it was a fun.
I mean, eventually I would just fly the plane everywhere and jump out and parachute onto my mission.
Oh, yeah, yeah, you got to come in there like James Bond, man, you know,
yeah.
With a grandiose entrance.
Anyway, yeah, Saints Row. I think Saints Row has already been picked up by another company. WWE.
That'll get picked up.
It got picked up by... who did they get picked up by?
Hopefully not like a claim or something like that.
No, it's another sports one like 2K or...
2K?
Yes, it's something. I want to say 2K.
Their basketball game is really, really good, but their baseball game, eh.
That whole company was built on the fact that EA got stingy. And like,
Well, actually, EA bought all the rights to Madden, so then they bought all the rights to baseball. And that's why EA doesn't do a baseball game anymore. They used to have a game called Triple Play, and... They were like, oh, you're going to take football? We're going to take baseball. But unfortunately for them, no one plays a baseball
game. TK came up, I thought, by only charging $40 for their sports games.
That was years ago. They were charging $20 for them, but they were worth $20. They weren't that good.
Right?
No. The basketball game they had was terrible, but it's really good now. But their football game is really, really good. And unfortunately, they had to stop making it because EA Sports bought up Madden, and they couldn't make that game anymore.
They bought every seat at the... On the flight,
yeah. It's like, hey, man, you can make the greatest football game in the world, but no one's gonna play because you can't make you can't sell it.
Right, play that shit in your living room.
Yeah, hope you enjoy it.
The only thing I was a little bummed out about with the THQ is that South Park: Stick of Truth. I was really looking forward to it. I don't know where it's going, and I don't know who's gonna distribute it.
Did they actually take the team that made it and brought them on board? Whoever bought it,
yeah.
All right, so then at least you're getting the same game because it looked like it was gonna be a really sweet game.
But hopefully we don't have to wait for the whole company to dissolve before it's out.
You're going to have to... Well, as long as they made the sale, I believe you're fine as far as the game being released. Because if they sold the rights to the game, then nothing's going to hold up the release of it with THQ.
I hope not. The president of THQ came out on his Twitter account and said he was really playing ball with everybody. He said that he hopes that everybody else finds a new spot, and that he's going to make this transition as easy as possible for everyone.
All right, well, good. And then hopefully they land on their feet. Everyone lands on their feet, and no one loses too many jobs because, you know, it's a rough economy out there, and we want good games. And THQ made some pretty good games. Oh, they did.
Yeah, RIP THQ.
They're getting the Red Ring of Death for the week.
Atari, you don't get one because we don't care.
You had the Red Ring of Death in like the 80s, bro. You should went out when Nintendo came around.
As far as I'm concerned, you get the You're Still Around award.
The What Still Around award?
Playing this week. I am playing Hitman this week.
How'd you like that game?
It's a lot like the other Hitmans. It's like...
Well, did you want a totally different game?
No. I want a little upgrade in the play style. It's your typical Hitman game in which if you don't do exactly what they wanted you to do...
Very linear?
Yeah. I mean, the problem with the Hitman games that I see is that they never made it harder for us because, like, I don't know about anyone else. I know you can do it also. But at this point, I'm good enough where I could just walk in the room and put the hot murder on everyone with headshots before they even pull their guns out. Like, I mean, after Call of Duty, Halo, Gears of War, years and years of multiplayer, I don't have to sneak around in these games. I do it sometimes, and then sometimes I just get annoyed.
You see, I'm the complete opposite, man. Giant Shock, when he plays one of these story games, man, I come in there like the Tremor Brothers from Smoking Aces, bro. I just shoot up the place. They know exactly who's coming after him. It's like a big chase. Like I even with Assassin's Creed, which I love, and I played all the games through. Everyone knows Ezio Auditore de Firenze is coming after you because I'm not slick at all in those games. Another thing that would annoy me about that game was when you'd jump off a ledge to assassinate somebody and you'd assassinate the guys that were walking with them, and then the guy would be like, what? And then you'd fail the mission because you got spotted.
They got to fix that a little bit, maybe a targeting system, because I feel the same way. Sometimes I jump off the ledge to throw a murder on someone, and all of a sudden I landed on, like, a post right next to him. And I'm just, like, standing there in my assassin.
You're in the Karate Kid crane pose, basically.
Full gear, blades out.
They're like, I think that guy's trying to kill us, man.
Yeah, but the Hitman, you know, Assassin's Creed, bringing up Assassin's Creed, they had an excellent thing on Hitman. If I don't do it a certain way, then I can't even fail a mission. And with Assassin's Creed, they had a unique system where, you know, if you don't do it a certain way, you lose points. But that's because that's the way your ancestor did.
Yeah, you don't get the full sync.
Yeah, yeah. For people who don't know, you are actually a person in the future, or in our present time in Assassin's Creed.
Yeah, and you're in this thing called the Animus, and you're reliving past memories of your ancestors, and they give you like little side missions, like don't be seen or don't kill anybody in this mission, and besides the guy you have to kill,
right? Which makes it worth it to me. But with this, I should be able to play it however I want.
Do you feel the game was rushed, and they just kind of threw it out there to throw it out there, or did they actually make a good game, but you didn't meet your expectations?
It looks polished. It looks like it's going to be a decent game.
Yeah?
Yeah.
I mean, how far are you through it at this point?
I'm through the second mission.
Yeah?
Mm-hmm. I'm through the second mission, and it's basically just they drop me off in a complex. The complexes are pretty big.
Mm-hmm.
This is the first time that they go section by section. Like, there's five different, maybe, if you want to call them chapters or sections from the game. And, you know, you start off in a garden, then you move into the kitchen area and stuff, so that's different. I don't know. I think I was just expecting a little.
Does it mean your expectation?
I play everything on
it's
hard
super easy
anyway. Yeah, you know what it is, they have this new thing called instinct mode. It's one of those, like, you tap it and everything slows down but you don't.
Yeah,
and it's just too easy to throw headshots out there.
I mean, you're really blasting people in the head like that.
Yeah you can't.
No, I told you. I just run in there and shoot up the place.
All right.
I played this week. I played a game came out a little bit ago over the summer, Lollipop Chainsaw. And it is made by WB Games and whatnot. It's about a cheerleader who his family kills zombies, and they've always killed zombies. And she eats lollipops, and she has a huge chainsaw. And it is actually hilarious. It has the Lex Luthor from Smallville. Plays her decapitated boyfriend on her side, and she like throws his head around and stuff like that. And he has great quips. It's
Michael Rosenberg.
Right? Yeah, that's his name. It was extremely fun, and I just bought it because I like zombie games and stuff like that. I always try them out, and it was one of those like games where you press like a bunch of different combo combinations to kill everybody. But it was super funny.
God of War.
Yeah, it was like kind of like God of War. It was like linear. You had to like. You know, basically just beat up everybody, but it was super fun and the story was great. It had a bunch of little cameos by, like, I don't know if you know the lead singer to Mindless Self Indulgence, Jimmy Urine.
Yeah,
he was one of the bad guys in it, and like it was really cool how you fought some of the bosses. Where Jimmy Urine's character, he was a punk, and you had to fight him in a big like arena where he like had speakers around him, and he'd be like saying curses at you, and you'd have to dodge the letters of the curse, and then come in like blast him up.
Okay, so. Okay.
It was just every boss was very, very different. And there was another level that was in an arcade. And then you had a little mini games where you had to like get through the level where you had to play old school arcade games, like Pitfall or like Space Invaders, stuff like that. And it ended up being a really good game, man. I did enjoy it a lot, and I recommend that. Plus, it's, I mean, the character's super sexy, and you can dress her however you want to dress her. So if you're into that.
It's probably pretty cheap by now, too, right?
You could definitely pick it up used, you know, was it GameStop?
Yeah.
Yeah, you could have used their
GameStop, Game Hut.
Yeah, on you could Amazon it. Like, yeah. It's probably under $30 at this point. It came out, like, August, and I just got around to playing it this week.
Nice. So coming out this week, games coming out, anything you're looking forward to?
This week?
See, I play on my iPad.
Yeah.
I like the real-time strategies on the iPad. I mean,
they're much easier to play on the iPad.
A lot easier to play on the iPad. And iPad's really coming out as a new gaming system, almost.
Basically, it's kind of replaced the handhelds. Like,
yeah.
Like no one, I wouldn't buy, game. I don't know, that's not a Game Boy, it's a DS at this point. Like a DS or a Vita because, you know, I have my phone or my iPad on me all the time. And I might as well buy the games in there. They're cheaper. And they're better.
I mean, the regular fighting games and platformers are still a little bit easier on the handhelds themselves because the controllers are, like, my hands get a little greasy if I'm eating something, or it doesn't work out as well. But the real-time strategy games are really where it's at on that.
Well, they work really good on the computers, but to play a computer game, man, you got to update your computer constantly with, like, sound cards and flash drivers, and it's a pain in the ass.
Right.
Because if you bought your brand-new computer in January and a game comes out that December... Like, you got to fucking, you know, get a whole bunch of new stuff to work on it. It's just too, unless you have, I guess you're really a computer person, which I am not really. Like, I know how to use my computer, and like, I'm obviously, we're making this podcast, but as far as, like, video games, I just can't keep up with that kind of stuff.
Right, well, that's where the Apple comes in, and they're coming out stronger now, because they got to focus on the gameplay rather than the stunning graphics and stuff, which is really what makes the game, obviously.
Well, that's what everyone should pay attention to is the gameplay, because you could play a game that's not that graphically great, and it could be super fun. Like, you ever play Meat Boy on Xbox
mm-hmm.
Live?
Mm-hmm.
That is one. It's a very simple game. The graphics aren't that great, but they're cute, mm-hmm. and it's super fun game. Like, it's a platformer where you gotta like basically get to it, every level maybe takes like 30 seconds, but you just gotta get to the end without dying, and it's incredibly fun.
Well, we're seeing these app games come out now on the Xbox. Like, they were so popular. I mean, Plants vs. Zombies.
That is a huge hit.
It's great.
Yeah.
I have it on the iPad, and it still kicks the shit out of it on the Xbox.
Yeah.
But, I mean, the iPad, it's got Kingdom Rush came out.
Is that what the, I'm thinking of Castle.
Castle Crashers. Yeah, Castle is another one that started a Flash game on the computer.
Yeah, I think a lot of those kids made some money on their Flash game tape, like on Newgrounds and whatnot. A lot of those games got picked up for like downloadable content on the Xbox Live Arcade, you know? Like, was it Humanoid, Alien Humanoid or something like that? Hominoid? Mm-hmm. That was a game that was on Newgrounds that got picked up. There was a bunch of them that got picked up from Newgrounds.
It's that Blob game. There's a Blob game that came out. I think it's called The Blob.
Yeah?
Yeah. It's a PlayStation hit now. Other games coming out this week. Turn-based strategy game called Skull of the Shotgun is coming out on Xbox Arcade.
What's it about?
It's your basic like dungeon crawler game.
Yeah,
I didn't see too much about it.
Yeah,
but it's coming out.
All right,
it looks good. All it right. looked good.
Look good. All right, yeah. That gets a thumbs up.
Speaking of Hitman, the Hitman trilogy is coming out. They redid the graphics and it's coming out on Xbox and PlayStation.
Is it for downloadable or is it
no?
It's
no,
actual CD. Disc you pick up.
Yeah,
I mean. Again, that's basically if you like the new Hitman and you didn't buy the other ones, it's just an easier way to get them. You know, like, because I did that with God of War.
I know you did.
Where I didn't play the first two, and then I played the third one, and it was really sweet. And I was like, you know what? They had the PlayStation had like a, you know, two games in one for like $25. I was like, all right, I'll mess with that.
Yeah, it's perfect for people who didn't play the first two. Mm-hmm. I borrowed that from you, and I had already played the first two, and it's not really. You don't really want to go back on those games too much.
The first one came out on PS2 or PS1?
PS2.
PS2?
Yeah. Right. Yeah. Yeah. So I played those the both of them on PS2. I tried going back to them. The graphics, whenever they say they upgraded the graphics, it's still not the third one's graphics.
Although the third one graphically was immense, man.
Stunning.
Yeah.
Right.
They built a huge world, and like everything that was in there was so clean. That's like the first game you saw the PS3 really start rolling with their graphics, like where you started seeing what the PS3 could actually do. Because right away they had Metal Gear Solid, I believe it was 4. It was the one where he's old, where Snake's old.
I know which one you're talking about. Yeah. It's hard to tell which, remember off the top of your head, if it's 4 or 5 or Sons of Liberty.
Sons of Liberty was like the second one.
Yeah, but sometimes they just come out with the name one and they don't officially make it.
But the one that was the first one that was released on PS3, they came out that one and it looked good, but you could tell that the system had so much more. Like, you know, it wasn't like super nice like God of War was. And now the Assassin's Creed games look sick on PS3. Even though it's a multi-platform game, I think they look better on PS3 than Xbox.
Everything does. Everything looks better on the PS3. Unfortunately, I buy more stuff for Xbox.
Well, any multiplayer game is an Xbox game, because there is no gaming community on PlayStation Network. It just doesn't exist.
I mean, there's a small one. It's free. You know, the Xbox you got to pay for, and the PlayStation's free, so it is what it is. I personally wish that I could pay small fees to the PlayStation Network so that I have a right to bitch about how crappy their network is.
It's not good, man. The way everything works is clunky. You can't, like, it just doesn't work as nice as Xbox. I mean, I do pay the $60. Was it 50 or 60? 49, right? So it's $50 a year. But at least you're getting your money's worth. They constantly have updates to, you know, they're always trying to add new things, you know, to their menus and whatnot. And like they did party chat where everyone could talk at once, and then instead of just a private chat,
it ruined Gears of War 2.
Well, it did. Well, okay, because then you could say where everyone was. The camera really ruined it. Not so much the ghost camera. You can go anywhere and just like literally look at the guy. Because remember, you could on the first one, you could just literally just have like the four cameras of the board, and you could just basically mainly tell them if they're in main spots.
But with the first one, you could private chat. That was before multiplayer private chat was out. But it was more of a pain. You'd really have to send it to the player.
Yeah. And he could die playing. While. Yeah.
Yeah. So it was like, it was a gamble. You were rolling the dice.
The party chats are annoying when you're playing multiplayer games, but when you're going against it. But then in general, if you're going against the crew online, you're usually getting slapped up a bit too because they all know each other.
But they're starting to get ways around it. Call of Duty especially has stepped it up with modes that they don't think that you should have party chat. They cut it out. You know, let's play if you're in a party chat.
That's good.
Yeah. Like Capture the Flag or something where especially Search and Destroy where you only have the one, where you only have the one life. They don't want you saying, hey, you know, I just died over here or anything like that.
Search and Destroy was my favorite mode in the Call of Duty games, man. That was super fun because, you know, mainly people just run out there and just bite like lemons and get shot. But in that one, you had to be like, you got to really work as a team. And it was pretty fun. Like if a guy was setting the bomb up, you had to like cover him and look everywhere. And it was just a lot more like less arcadey.
Right. Well, your favorite. You've said that your favorite multiplayer was Gears of War, right?
By far, I thought Gears of War, the violence, the fun, the fact that it was literally a team-based game where, if you had the Lancers or whatever, you could lock down an area, and if they try to attack you, like you were just getting murked. There's no way that you could have come through them if you locked down an area properly. Plus, the weapons were fun. The bow was a pretty sweet weapon. The boomer man who doesn't like, even though it's just a rocket, it's still like the sweetest. When you hit them all, like they're all standing like in levels like the mansion in the first one where they all come up the stairs and you had the boomer and like you hit one and they just all blew up on you, man. That was the best feeling in the world.
I definitely have some epic memories from one.
Well, I think it might have been a different time in our lives. You know, we were a little younger, we had a little less responsibility, but we played the shit out of one, man.
We did play the hell out of it.
And I remember I lost a girlfriend over that, man. She was like, "Yo, get pay attention to me." I was like, "Bitch, I'm playing some Gears, man. Get away from me. I'm trying to hear that."
We all lost a lot of ground in our love lives. So Gears War 1. I liked it because it was it tended to bring you together as a squad more, which I think is really lacking in the new Call of Duty games. And Halo, for that matter. There's less chatter.
Well, especially with Call of Duty, where a lot of the team-based games, like Domination, people just sit on the flag, or sit on the area, you know, and they don't try to help you out by taking other areas. They just sit there, get their kill-to-death ratio up, and then they bitch after. We're like, oh, look, I had, you know, 28 kills to 3 deaths. It's like, you didn't capture anything, man. You weren't helping out.
Yeah, I'm not impressed with that unless it's team deathmatch, everyone. Yeah. If you have the most kills in the room and it's not team deathmatch, then pretty much shame on you almost.
Yeah. Because
You're not helping out the team.
Nah, I actually... Call of Duty, I didn't mind so much Team Deathmatch, but I hated Team Deathmatch in Halo, man. I stink. I'm not good at just murking people. Like, I was good at the objectives. Like, you had to capture a hill or get a flag, but that's only because I'm a meat shield, bro. I just run in there, grab that shit, and run out. Because, you know, it's funny, because Gears of War is kind of like Halo. It's multiple shots to kill a guy. But right. I can kill a guy much more effectively in Gears than I can in Halo. Like, my guns have rubber bullets, bro. They just do not kill people.
Well, I mean, in Halo, it's a different beast. You know, that's all there is to it. The grenades, you were never that great with a grenade.
No, I was sick with the ones that stick to you.
No, I'm talking about the general just clearing a room, throwing two. You got to time it out.
Them shits could be flashbangs to me, bro. They fucking do not work at all.
You got
to
time it out. That's all it was.
I got super good with the ones that the plasma grenades, man. I just got personal love out of it, because when you stick a guy, he knows that he's stuck. And he's just like, motherfucker, you know, like he knows he's dead and shit. It's just so funny to me.
Yeah. Yeah, they're a lot of fun.
Plus, see him blow up the guys doing like the waving the arms thing up in the air and stuff. I like that. It was always like in Gears where the sticky grenades where you, you know, clang them on a guy, which they were funner in the first one, because it's the second one they didn't make them as awesome. Because like the first one, you can hit a guy, it stunned him, and then you could bounce on him. The new ones, you could hit a guy, the guy is not stunned at all. He just turns around and shoots you.
Right.
So it's not. It wasn't as fun to do it.
So as far as the downloadable games coming out now, Xbox says that they might go to a purely downloadable game system. PS4 is thinking about it as well. We obviously didn't do it.
I would much rather have it like that. That's going to kill, like, was it a GameStop? There's no point.
Right. It'll definitely kill games.
It'll be just gone. But I'd much rather have it like that. Just, you know, obviously you're going to have to buy a bigger hard drive for your... Well, actually, it should come with like a terabyte or something like that.
Right.
Because you're going to have to download each game's like 6 gigs.
Right.
But it'd be much better where instead of, you know, having, you know, your house full of with like plastic cartridges... Well, not plastic cartridges, but, you know, like the you know, where the DVD... Sorry, where the game is kept in... You know, you have a whole rack of those.
See, I like that. It's like badges of honor right next to my TV.
Yeah, but, dude, I used to be a huge DVD guy, man. I'm sitting on, like, 300 pounds of plastic in my house that I wish I could just throw out. And I don't even want to throw them out because I paid money for them. So it's like, and they're still movies, so if I didn't want to watch them. But I want the shit out of my house. Like, I feel the same way with the games. At least I could trade the games in and get new games. But not so much with the movies. And I'd rather just be a strictly stream thing where I get the game on my hard drive, I play it. If I want to switch the game instead of like getting up and, you know, I mean, it's make people lazier, but, you know, instead of getting up and switching the game and stuff, you just go to the next game. Plus, you'll never have another disc read error. That'll be gone.
Right. Some of the drawbacks I could see is, first off, I hate complicated menus. You know, like the PlayStation, sometimes to get to play to my game, it's like a 4-minute process.
Well, that's because you have to download everything all the time. And then it's not like zippy downloads. It's like 1%, 3%.
I don't need that either. I don't need that. I mean, PlayStation, I literally get home with a brand new game. I'm excited. I pop it in. And I'm like, great. I'll come back in 4 hours.
Might as well smoke a butt, read the paper, because you ain't going to be playing that game for about 25 minutes. Like,
go DC Universe. You might as well go to sleep, go to work the next day.
That's a huge game, too.
Cook a little something. Go back to sleep, wake up.
You have to put that in before you went to bed, and then wake and go and get up the next morning, and then you're ready to play.
Yeah, you might as well and sleep in the next.
PlayStation is basically like almost a computer, because when you get home, it's not just, you know, pop in and play. It's like, okay, now I got to download everything, and there's no way around it. You can't just play a game as is. You have to download all the patches and all the new shit on it, and it just takes forever.
They got to fix that. In the new systems.
Oh, yeah.
It is downloaded.
Well, Xbox takes 2 seconds to do it, though. That's what I don't get. Like, PlayStation takes forever.
But not if you download your game. I mean, Xbox has the capability of you bringing your CD into the Xbox and then downloading it into it to make it go smoother. But that takes forever, too.
You know, but I think it would just be a cool thing where, let's say I wanted, oh, the new game came out? Wow, download it. Like,
true.
I think it's your phone.
Oh, is it?
There you go. Yeah. What was it? Yeah. You know, it's another good downloadable game, which I look forward to every week, was the Walking Dead game. And you could actually get that on your tablet, too, because it's actually fun on the tablet, I heard, because you get the point where you want to, like, attack a zombie or what you want to grab, and it's much easier instead of using the cursor on the Xbox or the PlayStation 3 controller.
I haven't played it because I don't watch a show. Is that a new chapter every week game?
It's a separate – well, no, it's a new chapter every couple of months. Every other month they pop a chapter. The first five were the first story, and it was fantastic. Yeah, actually, you could download the first chapter for free and see how you like it. It
takes Back to the Future did the same thing in PlayStation 3. I did that.
Yeah? The it's a chapter-based game?
Yeah.
Like, how is it? Is that good?
It was pretty fun. Yeah. It was a little, you know, not too much action, but if you enjoy the Back to the Future movies as much as I did, then it's good to see where the characters are going. I mean, it was well written.
Oh, Back to the Future?
Yeah.
I love Back to the Future.
Yeah, you know it.
But how to play though? Was it basically like you point and click where you wanted to go, and that's how it worked? Or
it was kind of like you entered a room, and there would be characters from the show or from the movie in the room, and you just kind of talk to them, and they'd say, "I'll go talk to Biff for this part." And it was a lot of it was almost like an interactive movie. It wasn't really much of a game.
Well, that's kind of how Walking Dead is. Walking Dead is a lot of making choices, whether, oh, should I save the guy or should I save the girl? Should I give this to him or her?
Like, it was like L.A. Noire.
Was that any good? That's a Rockstar game, right?
Yeah, but that's a fully movie thing. There is, like, basically no move.
I like that time period, and I think it looks awesome, like that whole time period. So I kind of wanted to check out that game, but I never got around to checking it out. I get too involved in sports games and...
The game Deep Rain was the same way. It's like, Heavy Rain, I think it was called.
Well, those games are better than, do you remember back in the day, Dragon's Lair, where it was like you had to press button combinations, and it was fucking impossible? Like, I remember putting a dollar into the arcade, and I only played it because the graphics were insane on it. I was like, dude, we're coming from, like, you know, basically, you know, 16-bit graphics, and then that game was like almost like an animated movie. And I was like, oh, my God, let me play this game. And I'm trying to move left, right, and my guy's not moving. I get eaten by a dragon three times in a row, and they're like, more money.
The only way to play that game was to let him walk onto the screen, watch how he died, and then avoid it the next time.
Yeah, it was literally impossible. Like, how are you supposed to know?
You couldn't. Yeah. Floors drop out for no reason.
But the Walking Dead game, it was kind of that same thing, but it's different, where it's like a choose your own adventure type thing. Mm-hmm. A lot of choices, and I definitely recommend it. It's the first chapter's for free right now. You can download, see how you like it, and you get it on your tablet or I think even your iPhone, and of course Xbox 360 and PS3.
Mm-hmm.
We wanted to also talk about the a thing that actually gives us a hard time. It's a little bit of a game grab we have with the all access passes that they were starting to sell.
I got one for Gears 3. Unfortunately, as much as I love the game, it didn't have as much shelf life as 1 or 2 for me. You know, I ended up playing a lot of other games.
Well, your friends, we all kind of just dipped out on it. Like, it wasn't like that you didn't stop finding it fun. It's just when your friends aren't online anymore and you beat the game itself, playing with random people isn't that fun.
It was the same thing that happened to me with Shadowrun, where I'm just staring at my lobby wishing people were in it.
Well, Shadowrun was a strictly live game, right? It didn't have any story mode or anything like that. So you couldn't even mess with it.
There was a book series that I didn't read. I didn't even read it.
It was a book series that I never read a page of, but, you know, it was a pretty good game.
They also had a comic book, which I also didn't pick up.
Yeah?
Yeah.
I got burned on the all-access thing with the WWE 13 game, where I bought it, and there's like, oh, you want to buy the all-access shit for, I was probably like 1,600 gamer points, which was like 20 bucks or so. I was like, fuck that. And because I'm basically spending like 90 bucks for, you know, the game. I was like, forget that. I'll download the rest as I want to download. But this year, there was all the Attitude Era guys, and they came out with sweet people like... Too Cool and, you know, Grandma Sexy and Sky Too Hottie.
Back when I used to watch it.
Yeah, Rikishi, Val Venus, Gangrel. And I was like...
Are you still throwing your ass in people's faces in that game?
Yeah, man. It was fun to do the whole dances and stuff. It was a lot of fun.
That was my whole goal during the old game, was to throw that guy's ass
in. The stink face, man. Yeah. The stinky face.
That was it, the stink face.
The stink face, man. And you know what? You can't even. I didn't buy the pass, and I ended up spending more money because I wanted all the wrestlers, and I was like, God damn it! So I won't make that mistake again. But I think it's kind of bullshit because just put them in the game. Why are you trying to rip us off with, you know, spending more money on the game we just bought? And it's not like you're still making content. You already had that made.
I had a problem with Halo with that too when they came out with downloadable content the same month. Come on, guys! You guys didn't just make that this month. Just throw it into my game.
A lot of problems I have with the multiplayer maps and like the first person shooters is that one map is just the shit, right? Always. Mm-hmm. Then you have like two, three lackluster maps that they just pretty much put together.
They kind of cut out a section of the one player,
yeah,
the single player mode, and they just let you cut run and paste around it. Yeah.
Do you remember the first Gears of War, man? Every time they came out with the maps, they were always awesome. Remember the one with the helicopter was down and it was like a four corners type thing?
Raven Down.
That was an awesome map. Oh, the museum. Or was it the mausoleum? Oh, it was a museum.
There were two different ones, mausoleum and museum.
Mausoleum was actually in the first game. And then museum was a downloadable map they had.
Mausoleum was the second game.
No. I think, remember that was the one with... it was with all of the headstones everywhere, and it was like hard as shit to run around because there was no like straight lines.
Mausoleum was the one in the second one, with a couple steps up to that middle area that had the boom shot.
That was the first game.
No, second game.
Well, I'll bet you right now that was the first game.
That was the second game.
All right. Well, after the game, I'll pop on Gears of War, and I'll show you
number two.
that was a downloadable map in number two. Because it was originally number one.
It was downloadable in number two because it was from number two.
No, because it was not from number one. Because now
you can download it from your CD.
Ryze is smiling right now because he just realized he's wrong.
No, I'm not. Yeah. I'm not wrong.
Yeah,
Rooftops. Where was Rooftops? That was my favorite.
That was number one. But that wasn't downloadable.
They never port my favorite boards from the first game into any other game. I never got a boarding pass from Halo. I never got Rooftops from Gears.
Boarding pass was the most unique level, I think, in any first-person shooter ever, with two separate sides and a big space station, and you could shoot across with the sniper rifles.
It was great. It was like two pirate ships attacking each other.
It was awesome. They should have actually put a turret gun somewhere in there, too, like on all the way at the bottom or something like that, and a sniper rifle all the way at the top.
Yeah, they definitely could have done it.
That was a super fun map. I actually liked every map from Halo 1. Even the one with all the teleporters was fun to me.
Yeah. That one was fun because you'd hide behind them and you'd just start smashing people in the head as they walked in.
I had the new Halo 4, and the maps that I enjoy the most was like the new edition of the Blood Gulch. Like, I enjoy the big maps, but the newer maps aren't as fun to me. Like, I remember, I think it was Icebound, like in the first one where it was...
Sidewinder.
Sidewinder, yeah. Right. That was a super fun map, yeah. And you have tanks and on it, and then you crawl across the top of the cliff. Mm-hmm. You want to go
with the teleporters there, yeah. Too. Yeah,
that was a super fun map that they actually had a download content in the second one, but I don't think they brought it into the third or the fourth one.
No, they didn't. Call of Duty 2 had that one, the one map with the barn and everything. That was pretty much everybody's favorite board with that giant silo in the middle and everything. Yeah. You never saw anything from that. I would love to see in the new Modern Warfares to see an old decrepit board like it aged from 2 and you end up fighting on it again. Yeah. I would really like to see that. Like a board from 2 20 years later.
That would be sweet. As far as the passes go, I actually got jerked into buying the Call of Duty one. It's the Black Ops 2. Oof. And I don't even play the multiplayer. I just play the zombies, but I actually they made you buy the pass to get any of the new boards.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I didn't see, or maybe I might be wrong.
I got the new multiplayer boards. I just bought them. Well, I didn't do the pass.
See, I guess I messed up and bought the pass, which is like $50.
Why not?
And it's pretty expensive. So realistically, you're paying like $120 for the game. And I just basically bought for the zombies. But the zombies are super fun, but there's not enough of them. They only came out with one new map since November. And I think there's going to be a new download. I think this week, actually, on the 29th, but there, you know, that's only two downloads, you know, since November. Like,
let me ask you this: with the Gears, I mean, a year is a long commitment to one particular game, especially with so many great games coming out all the time. But with the Gears, with the season pass, I bought it, but I also got stuff that only came with the season pass, like the skins and the gun skins, and they let me get stuff a week early before the other people. Do they do any of that with Call of Duty or not?
What's it?
Like, there are perks for me to have the season pass. I get shit earlier than everyone else.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. You got Nuketown Zombies right off the bat.
But you got that from GameStop, too. Just reserving it at GameStop, you got Nuketown Zombies.
Well, in case you don't have a GameStop near you. Like, I don't know. I mean, so some people shop at Amazon, or some people shop, you know, other Best Buy, so.
Okay, but for the other 95% that buy shop at GameStop.
I think you'd be shocked at how many people actually go to other stores.
I guess. Yeah, I buy my stuff from a local place called Game Hut anyway.
Yeah.
Like a privately owned. So.
We might as well give them a shout out. They're all in the family, right?
Yeah. Game Hut. Privately owned game store. I love it.
Where is it?
It's in North Babylon, New York.
All right. And, well, that was a hell of a plug you gave for them. Because everyone knows where it is now. But, yeah, look up Game Hut. That's it's a pretty good game store. They have all the new games out.
And all the retro stuff. They sell all the... Genesis. Super
Nintendo. Can I go get a copy of Maximum Carnage?
Yeah, definitely. They definitely have that. They actually had three. They have two now since I bought mine.
Because I wanted to bring up, we have a little segment called Retro Games, and I'm going to bring up Maximum Carnage this week. And that was one of my favorite retro games, man. That was the 16-bit Sega Genesis, and the, I think, was it on NES?
SNES, it was, yeah.
I had it on Genesis, man, and it was one of my favorite games ever, man. Because you could play as. Was it Venom and Spider-Man together, and the soundtrack was done by Green Jelly,
mm-hmm.
and he had constant heroes from the Marvel Universe jumping in all the time to, like, you know, help you out and stuff. It was super
ambiguous
fun.
Heroes too, like Cloak and Dagger were in there, Deathlok, Morbius.
That's was it Full Metal Phoenix's favorite characters, right? Cloak and Dagger.
Yeah, he's quite hipster.
That the I thought the graphics though for a Sega game, though, they were great, man. Like, I really enjoyed Max.
You know, the Spider-Man games in general back then were, like, really balls-on great.
No. You remember the
as
one?
As opposed to the X-Men Spider-Man games.
I was going to say, do you remember him, Gambit, Wolverine, all trying to battle Arcade in Arcade's Revenge? And that was just probably the worst game I've ever played.
They had a couple of those. The X-Men didn't do so well on the Genesis.
They had a couple fun games where, I think it's like Rise of the Apocalypse was fun, where you could play as like Rogue and Wolverine, Gambit, and it was
Magneto, right? Yeah. That was the number two.
Yeah, that was number two. And then the first one was fun too. It's been so long ago, I forget the names of these games. But
until you get to Apocalypse World, and then nobody had fun on that part. Everybody died on that part.
That was a kind of like a Ninja Turtles NES game where you could pick one character at a time, and then if they died, they were just done.
They're done. They're done. I was good with Gambit, and then once Gambit was gone, Nightcrawler would come up, and then after Nightcrawler, my game would turn off.
Because then you were dealing with, like, Storm.
It was Cyclops and Wolverine. Wolverine had no reach, and Cyclops, I'm not playing a Cyclops.
They never gave Wolverine justice in any of the video games because he's always sucked in every video game because, he doesn't shoot anything.
No,
and he doesn't regenerate, like, because the game won't let you gain more health.
And his punches don't hurt that much more than anyone else's.
No. He would be worth it if he could regenerate.
Mm-hmm.
Like, say if, like, you weren't getting hit for a little bit and your power just went up.
Or even a second life. That guy cut off his head.
didn't against the Brute, he cut off his own head, dragged the Brute out, and then popped it back
up?
Yeah,
they planted that. That's a comic book. He cut off his own head and took the seeds or whatever they do, eggs, out of his own brain.
That was just a slow day around Marvel. They were like, how's he get it out of his head? Yeah, he cuts his head off.
Yeah.
Pops it back on.
By the way, where's the editor? Oh, he's in the bathroom. Just run.
Just go with it. Print.
Yeah, a retro game for me. I liked...
Earthworm Jim?
Yeah, that's the one I was going for. Earthworm Jim, I really, really want to see a new one. I mean, like, obviously the new Spider-Man games are great, so...
I'm shocked that he's never come to a higher console than... Was the last time he was... Did anything was 64, right? That was the last time I saw an Earthworm Jim game.
Yeah, that one was clunky and bad.
A lot of the 64 games were so polygony, and they just stunk. Like, mm-hmm. You remember the Superman 64 game? Was just terrible, man. We were flying through fucking rings, and...
That was, like, the animated series one?
Yeah.
The Superman game for the Xbox 360 was horrible as well.
Well, he's just kind of...
You're flying through more rings, I think. I don't know.
Why can't you punch down buildings and shit? Like, use your laser vision, like, or laser eyes?
I don't know. I'm I'm a pretty big fan of the open world superhero games nowadays. I like those. The Spider-Man games are great.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, you always zip through all, every time there's a movie coming out, you always zip through the Spider-Man or Hulk or Transformers. You always like those like open world games where you get to like play as you know, one of the heroes.
Yeah, the open world games are great. Hulk wasn't as good just because you can't move as fast. Like I don't.
Well, yeah, but he's super strong and jumps super high, right?
Yeah. Yeah, it was okay. The Hulk was okay. The Spider-Man games really impressed me.
The last Hulk game that came out, was it for the last movie with Edward Norton, or was it?
No, it was just a freestanding game.
It wasn't a movie-based game. It was just like a Hulk
comic
game?
Book game.
Did they come out with an Avengers game?
Not yet. I mean, they, you know, I've played Avengers games. The last one I played was Super Nintendo too.
So no.
No.
I'm shocked they didn't come out with the game, because usually they pump out a game whenever a huge release comes out like that.
Yeah, they had the Captain America movie game. That sucked. And then,
the Captain America game sucked?
Yeah.
I liked the movie. The movie was good.
Nah, but it was like along the lines of the Punisher game and the Wolverine game.
There was a Punisher game that came out on Xbox. That was awesome, man. My favorite part of that game was you were in a coffin at a funeral for this like mobster.
Yeah.
And you pop out with a fucking M60 and you just take out the entire funeral, and it's awesome, man. It's one of the coolest.
That happened in the comic books all the time. He was constantly popping out of coffins.
Yo, Frank is just a psychopath, man. He's killed everybody. That's why he has a big skull on his chest.
Yeah, speaking of that, where's this Marvel MMO that they've been talking about?
DC did their one, and Marvel was going to do the same thing?
Yeah,
is it going to be like you make a character like DC, or is it going to be like just the actual character?
It was at Icon. Or what was the one? Comic-Con.
Yeah, it was at Comic-Con.
I was there.
Yeah, you were there. Was it Paint It Black was at Comic-Con 2012 with our boy Rise like here, and apparently he mistook that for Icon.
I snuck in on alcohol, if you remember, so I don't remember.
Yes, that was always fun. They don't check the exhibitors for their what's in their suitcases and whatnot, so we snuck in some drinks. But the Capcom set was right next to us, and PS3 had basically it was the same thing as Smash Bros, but with all the PS3 characters.
Mm-hmm. And that's out now, by the way.
How is it? Is it good?
Yeah, it is a lot of fun. It's different. You'd think it was Smash Brothers, but it is not.
It's not Smash Brothers?
No.
Is it just like a one board that you're all on fighting each other?
It is. I mean, like, when you look at it being played, but there's a lot of different nuances. There are actual combos that kind of like Street Fighter. It's more of like a four-person Street Fighter, almost. It's a lot of fun.
Yeah?
Yeah.
So, I mean, is it only on PS3?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Definitely. It's PlayStation characters.
That's right. I forgot about that. Is Crash Bandicoot on that shit?
No.
That's my boy, man. I love Crash. Abunaka. That's my boy.
Yeah, maybe downloadable content. Yeah, that it's funny that you asked. That was like the number one question asked on the forums.
Because that was like their Mario, right? It's Crash. It's basically their platformer.
Yeah, they haven't had one for a while.
They were fun. They were actually good. Like, I enjoyed those games.
He got a racing game. That didn't work out too well.
Him with his huge fucking head and his mouth open, just taking it all, like just driving around, zipping around in the cars. They actually have another racing game for Little Big Planet.
Yeah,
which you could build all your own.
That's the PlayStation. Boards. That's you can be Kratos or that's a PlayStation racer, not just Little Big Planet.
It's not just Little Planet. No. Little. They might have made another one, but Little Big Planet had its own racer with all little sack characters.
Oh, maybe.
Yeah, and you could build all your own little tracks and stuff like that. I like how the Little Big Planet was so customizable. You could just build your own world and play all your own levels and stuff like that. And they were always super fun. I like those games.
They are fun.
Yeah.
The Marvel Universe game coming out is unlike the DC Universe game because you have to choose. As far as I see, obviously, I don't know yet because it's not out, but as far as the exhibit at Comic-Con was concerned, you have to choose a person to be, like an already existing Marvel character, which is fun because it makes you have different powers and different travel modes and stuff, as opposed to the DC game where there were really four basic powers you could choose from and three different modes of travel, and that was it. And sometimes you combine stuff in the DC game. I played the DC game. I went all the way up to the highest level you can.
How high is it?
It was 50 at the time. It might be up now,
mm-hmm.
but it just wasn't that
fun. What was your setup that you had?
I had during the beta, I did flying and ice powers, and ice powers are by far the most powerful. They trump everybody else.
Yeah.
And it didn't make any sense, though. I was just like this guy. I didn't have any wings or anything. I was just flying around with ice powers. And there's a flight, there's running super fast, and there's tech, which is kind of like your Batman grappling hook and stuff like that. And you could combine anything. They didn't mix, like, the same. I would have the same fire powers if I was fire tech that I would if I was fire flying.
Oh, so there wasn't very much variety to it.
No, there wasn't. And also, I could fly out of any situation. And if I was a tech guy, you can't grapple out of any situation. People could stop you from grappling.
When I first saw the trailer for that game, I was getting super excited because it was, you know, the Joker, it was Superman. It was like it looked like a huge Justice League game.
Mm-hmm.
And it ended up being like you make your own character instead of playing as the actual superheroes.
Well, eventually you get recruited into the league and you go up and you talk to the
Yeah, guy. But isn't everyone a League of Justice guy? Like in the whole DC universe, it's a good guy?
Yeah. Yeah, we're all League.
I mean, like, seriously, like, the League of Justice is just pretty much incorporates the entire good guys of DC Universe, and then Legion of Doom is just pretty much every bad guy.
Right. That's true. But with the Marvel game, during the display, they had unique characters from Marvel Universe, like Squirrel Girl was part of the
Squirrel Girl?
Yeah.
What's her power? Is picking up nuts?
Like, no, she talks to squirrels.
That's a fucking useful power, I gotta say.
It's not, but that just, they were just trying to show.
How did she discover the power of fucking being a squirrel?
Believe it or not, I didn't read the comics about a Squirrel Girl.
What? That was another slow day around the office. It's like, well, we need a new character that's a girl. Squirrel Girl. What'd she do? Talk to Squirrel. I don't know. Put that shit on print.
It's late. Let's go home.
Squirrel Girl. I'm signing off on it. Let's do it. Was she like a regular girl, though? Like.
No, I guess she can climb things.
No, I'm saying, like, does she look like a regular girl, like the actual character? Like, how she looks?
Oh, I mean, she's not, like, a hybrid rodent thing or anything. She's just a regular girl with, like, a mask and, like, a typical unicorn.
Why would you need a mask to hide your identity?
I don't know.
Fucking power sucks.
I mean, when you're a superhero, you got a lot of hate. I mean,
that's not a superhero. You're not a hero.
Well, the new MMO, anyway, looks a lot like... the Ultimate lines, you know,
yeah.
Ultimate Avengers and the Marvel games that we're used to. The over-the-top view running around.
They were a lot of fun, man. Both
they were great.
The Ultimate Alliance was, I think, the best superhero game that, in general, because you could play with three other friends. You could play as many characters in the Marvel. It was the Marvel Universe. It was Marvel. And you could build up your characters. It was a lot of fun, man. I had a lot of fun with those games.
They were great, and what I'm looking forward to the most out of the new MMO, the Marvel one, is to see who rises. Because obviously, everyone's going to pick, one world's going to have a Spider-Man, one world's going to have a Ghost Rider, but the odds of...
Hopefully not Nick Cage.
No. Hopefully not Nick Cage. But to see just, I mean, obviously the Spider-Man's going to be chosen right away, but that might not be necessarily the player who plays the most. So you might get like a unique combination of people might be surprised at who the top dog in your world is going to be.
Wait, so you're saying that the game kind of like how you play it is what kind of hero you become?
No. What I'm saying is if you pick Spider-Man and you're a casual gamer and I pick a much lesser known person and I play it every day... Mm-hmm. I'll obviously surpass you as the main superhero of the world, and it won't be structured exactly like the Marvel Universe.
Oh, that's cool.
So maybe I'll pick Hawkeye, which I won't. But if I did, and he became top dog, like people are like, oh, Spider-Man's here. Nah, fuck Spider-Man. We need Hawkeye.
Yo, man, in the movie, he wasn't too bad. He gave him a little love. He might not be a bad character to pick anymore.
In the show. He's got a new show.
No, that's Arrow. That's Oliver Queen. That's...
No. In the Avengers cartoon.
Oh, the cartoon?
He's still a pretty badass.
Yeah?
But,
he's not too bad. I used to hate him in the comic books, but in the new movies, he's not too bad. He's got all these crazy arrows he shoots. He's not the worst character anymore.
He's pretty cool. But...
I still hate Storm. I would never pick Storm in any game... Or anything, man, because she always sucks. She's supposed to be super powerful, but you're just hitting people with, like, garbage, like wind.
It's always lightning.
It's lightning or wind. It's like you never just, like, you never use your powers how she uses them in the comic books. She's always a lame character. I always hate using Storm.
I just want to see how it unfolds. I want to see the. It looked like they were doing a dungeon based thing, where it's not going to be a true open world, which I personally think would be a mistake. Yeah. I want to see an open world.
Well, I mean, those are always much more fun. It gives you a lot more things to do.
I'd like to see travel modes for different mm-hmm. people, though. Like, if, for example, again, you're Spider-Man, I pick Storm, which I won't. somebody else picks Nightcrawler. We got to get somewhere real fast. You got to teleport, a flight, and then, you know, we're hanging out with our boy Frank Castle, the Punisher, and he's like, let me catch a bus.
Here at ASCOD, not only do we talk about games, sometimes we like to give you blueprints for success, and we've been playing a lot of Call of Duty lately, and we've come up with a couple of kits that, that we'd like to use and whatnot, and we'll talk about it a little bit. Oh, no?
Sure, sure.
Yeah.
Once you hit level 50 or 55, you get the kit to keep you off UAVs and whatnot. Keep that. Always keep that.
Yeah, the UAVs, man, are such a big advantage when they're on, man. Because like every time I hear an enemy UAV, dude, I'm constantly getting murked. Like everyone knows exactly where I am, especially in that particular game. It's even worse than Halo. Like Halo, everyone can see everyone all the time, but that I can't see what the other guy is coming.
Right.
Unless he's crouching. But no one's walking around the board all crouchy.
I do. In Halo?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm going to definitely agree with you with that. I definitely put all silencers on the weapons, man. Mm-hmm. The biggest thing is not being on that radar more than anything else. Like, fast reload doesn't even matter to me.
No. Like, why would it?
Yeah. Unless you have, like, the M60 and it takes you fucking 45 minutes to reload a gun.
But even then, don't pick the M60 if you're looking for a speedy reload to begin with.
Yeah. You know what really confused me a lot too? There's so many grips in the game. There's so many like little add-ons to the gun and stuff. But I don't really even care all much about that. I like the scopes, and my favorite scope is the one that has a little blip where you can see through the walls and stuff like that.
Okay,
that's my favorite scope. I would say definitely use that one.
It's great. It's got less magnification though. Yeah. But it definitely it really excels in capture the flag when people are camping their flag. Mm-hmm. Although it's not really camping if you're protecting your flag, everyone. Just so everybody knows, everybody screams out camper. Mm-hmm. If you're playing Capture the Flag or Domination, they're protecting their shit, everyone. Like, you know?
Yeah. You can only yell at camper if it's Domination, and that guy has just been sitting on Flag A the whole time, just trying to get his kill to death ratio.
Or if he's like in the middle of the board for no reason.
Yeah. he's just shooting people that are like, you know, trying to take some weird side route and just getting his kills deaths up.
Or even team deathmatch. You know, you can camp in team deathmatch.
Oh yeah, man.
I get bitched at. That's fine.
Well, no, you're better off camping, because if your kill to death ratio stinks, no matter that's what you're trying to do is get
sit
your
tight,
kill.
Bro. Yeah. Sit tight. What are you doing running out there, you idiot?
I got ADD, man. That's why I stink at those those death matches, because I'm constantly running out being a dick and getting killed.
Mm-hmm.
And like my kill death would be like, you know, 8 to 16, no doubt.
Right.
Especially in Halo, I stink at it.
As far as the blueprints for success for Call of Duty, though, is I'd rather go over capture the flag more than anything.
Mm-hmm.
You know, keep your shit light. Definitely go after the flag. Don't just go for kills, everyone.
Mm-hmm.
Do not jump on the flag and 5 seconds before you get to the flag, yell, "I'm going for the flag, cover me."
That's the worst. Where like I was right behind you with something like that,
right?
you told me going into this run that I'm running at this flag that we were both gonna be teammates. Like obviously we're teammates, but this was the plan.
Right? Like, you're on a team. Grab people. Say, hey, who wants to go for the flag? Who wants to protect the flag?
Yeah.
This is how you win the game.
I always just go for the flag, but in Call of Duty it's kind of hard because, especially with the capturing the flag, you have like 2 seconds to see who the guy who's protecting it is. It's like doo doo, and you're dead. So like, then you gotta watch where you got killed from. You're like, motherfuckers up there, man. And then I think that it's a really hard game to catch the flag. Halo is easy. Once you get that shit out of the initial base, there's no way you're not getting that
it's
flag.
It's gonna creep back to your base.
Yeah, it's slowly but surely that'll get back to your base.
Right.
Unless like you're in the Blood Gulch and they got some mech warriors hanging out, and then you just bone. Like,
right.
You're not getting that flag back.
Another thing with capture the flag, I said it before, nobody is impressed with nobody should be, rather, impressed with your kill count in capture the flag.
That's not the point.
Right.
The point is to get them flags.
Go join deathmatch.
Yeah. Yeah, man, I do enjoy capture flag. I think it's my favorite objective mode. Those the capture flag
in any game. It's mine. It's mine.
The King of the Hill thing. Not that even fond of it. It's like I'd rather have play domination where you have to lock down sections of the board, and it's not like it disappears and goes away, and then you have to you go to some other stupid spot of the board. I like that a lot. The King of the Hill never did it for me. It was like you protect some minute place for like 30 seconds, and then it moves to some other
right.
place.
And everyone else knows where it's going. Sometimes like
that's the worst when people know the where the transition.
In Halo, it's a cycle. It's not even random where the next phase is going to be. So automatically, someone's standing on the other.
So like people are defending it, and then one of their guys already hanging out where it's going to be.
Right.
Yeah,
exactly. So. Which is another part of the strategy, mm-hmm. I guess. I mean, it's there, and there's always a minor skirmish going on where it's going to be.
This is true. This is true. I've been actually playing a lot of sports games, and I got a couple of small tips for NBA 2K. They have one of the best buttons in the world in NBA 2K. It's called the B button, and what it does is makes you give a hop step, and you could do that into the paint and give a nice little layup instead of just pressing the dunk button. You're going to get blocked or fouled, and you're just going to, you know, you're just going to miss the shot basically, and you're not going to get fouled because the game doesn't work like that. It never gives you fouls when you should get fouls, and you're going to look like a dick in front of everybody when you play all together. Also, in that game, if you press Y, you can put your back to the basket, do some fadeaway jumpers, you know, back a guy down if you get a good matchup going. I definitely use those two buttons a lot because it's a simulation, and the more you play like a real game, the more and more you'll score and the more success you'll have in it. And that's my particular tip for the week for the NBA 2K game.
Nice. Good one.
Mm-hmm.
Next week, we're going to go over more game etiquette than anything else.
Yeah. Online no-nos, if you will.
Online no-nos. Mm-hmm. We're going to go over... I don't know if you noticed it. Well, I know if you noticed it. I don't know if anyone else noticed it. But there are different games have different vibes within the multiplayer. You know, Call of Duty is a much more aggressive fish tank, if you will, than, let's say, Halo, which the players tend to support each other a little more. I want to go into that, why that might be.
Yo, you getting different people I'm playing with, man.
I'm better than you at Halo. People are nicer to me.
Yeah, but I'm a nice person. Like, I'm always like, hey, how you doing? Everyone's like, you know, fuck you. Like,
right, right. Yeah, I'd like to go into why that is. If it's because of the nature of the game itself that you're playing, or...
People online are just basically dickheads a lot.
I know.
They go online just to be assholes.
It's totally different than when we first started playing.
Well, that'll be our one of our topics next week. But before we're out of here, I want to say that you could email us at asquad13. We'll read your emails on the air. You could tweet us at asquadgamers. And we'll be tweeting some news as far as games go. And you could actually, we'll play you online, man, if you hit us up, man. We'll set up a date, you know, one of the days during the weekend. You could challenge us online. Dan's more of a first-person shooter guy,
mm-hmm.
and he's pretty tough, so he'll be a good challenge. I, myself, am more of a sports guy. I have pretty much every sports game if you want to play me. I mean, if you want to just dominate me, I'll join Dan, and we'll play some Halo. I stink at that.
Yeah, if you want somebody who's going to strategize with you, I'm not going to join any clans, obviously.
No. Yeah. This is merely for fun, and if you enjoy the podcast, you can interact with us via those methods.
And even if you want to play casually and just discuss things you think should be on the show,
all right,
or anything, I'm totally open for that. My screen name on Xbox is my gamer tag is Rise Like Phoenix. There's a space between each word, and Phoenix is spelled like Marcus, Phoenix.
My gamer tag is Giant Shock 8019, and I'm open to all challenges too.
Oh yeah, if you think you're gonna take it down, then I'm down for a challenge. I'm down for a beef too. Let's.
Next week we'll be having some more guests. Actually, our first couple guests, and hopefully it'll be a good second show. But until next week.
This is Rise Like Phoenix.
This is Giant Shock, and we're all out of continues for this week.
Mm-hmm.